Good morning and welcome to worship here at the table at Central United Methodist Church. My name is Matt, and along with Linda, we serve as the co-pastors here for this beautiful community of faith, and we're grateful to be together here in person and online. We are going to move into worship this morning, a week that has been filled with so many different hard images and so much happening in our world. And often when this happens, we find that turning back to some of the deep tradition, those who have gone before us, can help us to find our way. And so this morning, we are going to turn first in worship to a poem that was written by St. Francis in 1225. It was then 7 centuries later, paraphrased, translated, and set to music for the first time in the early 1900s. And the arrangement that we'll share this morning comes to us from a group in Chicago called the Good Shepherd Collective. So I invite you to stand in body or spirit, and we'll move together with worship in song.
Creator. Or was it an iris gladdening the blue denim on the upper thigh of the young woman exiting the Salvation Army with a few little kids and two plastic bags stuffed to the hilt in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania, where I stopped to procure a cheap pair of sweatpants after a solid 2 hours of pickup basketball at the Y next door, which turned out to be half off, Black Friday and all, $2.50. I always mix them up. I should know, given the most important flower in my garden is a lily, which I study daily in the 4 to 6 weeks that it offers up its pinkish speckling, which I do by getting on my knees and pushing my face in, which, yes, is a kind of kissing, as I tend to pucker my lips and close my eyes. And if you get close enough, you'd probably hear some minute slurping between us. And for some reason, I wish to deploy the verb drowning, which, in addition to being a cliche, implies a particular kind of death. And I will follow the current of that verb to suggest that the flower kissing, huffing, if you will, the moving so close to another living and breathing thing's breath, which in this case, the case of the lily my mom and I planted 6 years ago, will in fact kill you with delight, will end the life you had previously led before kneeling here and breathing the breathing thing's breath, and will resurrect you too. Your face now speckled with pollen, your lips sprinkled with gold dust, your face and fingers smelling faintly all day of where they've been. Amen.
Shed your grace upon us, shed your grace upon us, shed your grace upon us now. Shed your grace upon us, shed your grace upon us, shed your grace upon us now. If you believe in the stoic self, the value marks the hands of that all you love is all you have. Yeah, I believe in that. And I believe in holding on. Flock of prayer, almighty song. I find my patience in the storm. The muted earth and she alone.
Shed your grace upon us, shed your grace upon us now. Shed your grace upon us, shed your grace upon us, shed your grace upon us now.
Ooh. If you believe in falling rain,
yeah, yeah.
Home cooked food from mother's hands. Overlook the simple things, yeah. Oh, you best gonna be our friend.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. If you believe in boundless blue,
I do.
That touches dust and will undo.
Yeah, Lord.
The world rocks shadows in the dawn. Grace the strength to carry on.
Share your grace upon us, share your grace upon us, share.
is mine because it's short, because I'm short. Anyway, good morning, everybody. My name is Lisa Wagley, and I get to attend this church with each of you. And so I am so lucky to be in community with all of you. Also, welcome to those who are brand new. I actually got to meet Ann and John this morning, so thank you for coming here this morning, Ann and John. And welcome to everybody who's new to us online as well. The wonderful Kara Tuppy is there to greet you and answer any questions. So if you have like a certain something that you're wondering about, just put it in the chat box and she'll answer you. So if this is your first time, there's a beautiful picture of Kara there, huh? If this is your very first time here, welcome again. And you can text, the number's not up here yet, but it will be soon, but you can text to this number new, and you'll get a series of wonderful texts from our pastors, Linda and Matt. And it's a really great way for you to learn more about our church. And when you're ready to connect more deeply, they run this amazing series called Growing in Faith. That screen is going to pop up right there. Here's something that's really, really amazing. The class that they have now is full. The next class they have is full. So the next one is December 1st and 2nd. So I think that really says a lot about our community, and I think it says a lot about what people are really needing. And so I'm glad that our community of faith is here to fill that for others. So the December 1st and 2nd, if you would like to join us, that would be great. Okay, one more thing. There is the bulletin there. It's on the edge there. You just use your QR code, and it'll pop right up. So we're very tech savvy here at the table. And now I think our band is going to lead us into some inspirational music.
Between us all, turning on the tables, breaking. How can you stop? It's all in here now. It's all in there. Good morning. My name is Bob Martinez, and whether you're joining us in person or online, God did shed her grace on us this morning by giving us such a beautiful fall morning. It's fall now. It's fall. At this time, I want to invite our children to move from the sanctuary to their godly play sanctuaries as our musicians help us with some walking music. As we begin this new year with godly play, we remind families that we do receive an offering in godly play, which will go to supporting Mustard Seed School, which is a Montessori-based school for children who are part of families that are experiencing homelessness. We also have loving and professional care for our youngest children in the A-frame throughout worship, and godly play takes place upstairs and is designed for children in elementary school, kinder through the sixth grade. Our reading this morning comes from the 22nd chapter of Matthew's Gospel, verses 15 through 22, and I'll be sharing from the New Revised Standard Version, and we invite you to follow along. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with the truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" And they answered, "The emperor's." And then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." Now when they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away.
I surrender all.
Going to share a message. I think we're good. We are so good. Thank you all for becoming a choir and your beautiful voices. I want to invite us into a spirit of prayer. God, may the depths of your love be felt in our hearts. May your spirit stir us. Invite those places where we might find ourselves complacent to be transformed. and bring to those places where we are hurting your deep hope. We offer this time, our lives. May your love guide and shape my words and the meditations of our hearts. Amen. Over these last 3 weeks, we have witnessed together here in worship Jesus taking on the religious leaders of his day, the chief priests and the Pharisees. What we've talked about as Jesus in verbal jujitsu with the religious leaders at the time. And over, Jesus has shared parables, stories with them to try to trap those religious leaders in their own words. And last week, he shared a story that actually forced not just the religious leaders to look within, but all of the people that were looking on in the temple as well. And in the reading that is assigned to the Global Christian Church for this day, which Bob shared with us from Matthew's gospel, the onslaught against Jesus escalates. Now the religious leaders are joined by the Herodians. You can hear it just in the title, the Herodians, the Herodians. These are supporters, won't be surprised, of the king's, Herod's son. They were a puppet government, you could say. They were supporters of empire. The religious leaders of the day who've been trying to trap Jesus to force him into a place of blasphemy would have actually been against these Herodians. So the Pharisees and the Herodians were not generally aligned with one another. The Herodians and Pharisees, though, find Jesus is turning over tables or stirring up trouble to bring them together across their differences. The tensions escalate as these frenemies stand side by side. They're colluding together to trap Jesus with a question that seems so simple, a question about taxes. But if Jesus says that it's lawful to pay taxes to the emperor, he's going to offend the Pharisees and all of those, which is the many, who are against the occupation by Rome. If he says that it's unlawful to pay the taxes to the emperor, he offends the Herodians who are there representing Herod, the king. Either way he goes, Jesus is trapped. But instead of responding to their either-or question with a parable, as we've seen over and over, Jesus turns this time to an object lesson. He asks them for a coin. Does anybody have one, actually? I'm serious. Donovan has a coin. Thank you, Donovan. I'm going to need that coin. The whole message is riding on this, Donovan. Pressure is on. Oh, two coins. I'm reminded of Allie's kids a couple weeks ago. They left worship in tears. They left worship in tears because they realized that the coins that they were giving, they were sharing in godly play upstairs, were going to go to support Mustard Seed School. They realized they weren't going to get these back. Donovan, you're not going to get these back. Our coins today say things like, in God we, actually I'm too old to read, but I know that it's down there, in God we trust, liberty. That's not the case though with ancient coins. They had a different phrase inscribed on them. It would say, Tiberius Caesar, son, listen to this, son of the divine Augustus, Augustus. Their coin expressed political power, and also made a theological claim. Caesar, the emperor, is divine. And I imagine Jesus like flipping the coin as he was feeling trapped in that moment. And he says, whose head is on that coin? And on this, the Pharisees and the Herodians, they're actually of one mind. The emperor's image is inscribed on that coin. I think he flipped it again. And everyone around, he invited them to see as that coin was spinning, give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. It's as though he says how we relate to an object can tell us everything we need to know about who we really are. Now, plenty of followers of Jesus throughout the generations have understood this object lesson as though Jesus were reminding his followers of two different commitments that we have. One, we're called to be good citizens. And two, we're called to be faithful to God. Both are true callings. Oftentimes imagined to be equal, both valuable, meaningful. But the writing of Reverend Dr. Rick Spalding helped me to go deeper in the text this morning, and I want to invite you to hear his words. He says, Jesus is testing, not tidying. He is not sketching parallel responsibilities, but a radical antithesis. Caesar can stamp his picture and pedigree far and wide, but he cannot come near the true commerce that animates us. So Caesar will get many or most of the coins and be flattered by how well his likeness is rendered in the medium of cold, hard cash. But the coin of the realm of our flesh and blood is the image of God. What is rendered to God is whatever bears the divine image. Every life is marked with that inscription, an icon of the one who is its source and destination. This is the heart of the claim our church makes, and which we will gather around next Sunday to celebrate baptism and to remember and renew our own baptismal covenants. And I know for me, and maybe for many of us, it's so simple. We tend to just look upon ourselves and see in a mirror. We evaluate our own worth by what we have, how we look, what we've accumulated, how many coins, the titles inscribed under our names, or the honors we receive or we didn't receive, the company we keep. It's so often difficult to recognize and to remember that beneath all of those material things that seek to actually identify us is a much deeper mark, a watery cross inscribed on every forehead as we're knit in our mother's wombs. Dr. Spalding writes, baptism is the watermark of our true currency. I was walking with mom this week, talking about the possibility of her being baptized, about her children. Just so looking forward to gathering with you all next Sunday in person and online, for us to come again to the waters of baptism and remember the true mark of God's love for each of us, for the whole world. Jesus' object lesson back in his day was an ancient coin. But over these last weeks, as we've held the readings assigned to the Global Christian Church, alongside the prophetic and provocative poetry of Ross Gay, I've been reminded over and over of the incredible way that Ross Gay makes object lessons out of everyday life, over and over and over. Much like we're called to remember our baptism, not just one time, but over and over and over. The opening prayer that Seska created for us was taken from a larger lecture that Ross gave while he was at Smith College all the way back in 2016. And I don't know if you could see it as he was gathering at that podium and he was acknowledging that it's been a minute since he's been in church. And as he was acknowledging this, he was describing his daily practice, like the object lessons that he's been trying to hold on to. And the daily practice for him, and you see it as he pulls out these just pieces of paper, they're random, and he's pulling them together. They look mostly like handwritten notes on pages. And he says he has this practice of trying to notice something every day that brings delight. every day, seeing in object lessons something that brings delight. And he turned those mini essays into a collection, which we've been holding. It's a book called Inciting Joy. There's such a deep humility that he embodies as this poet is standing up there, not reading from a published book, but from handwritten notes, because he's living so deeply in the present moment. And he turns and he talks about this iris on blue denim of a woman who's leaving the Salvation Army. And I want to share with you what he describes in what is the 14th incitement of joy in his collection, and that incitement is gratitude. Gratitude. And first, I want to try to connect a couple of ancient words for us. I just want to invite you to hear some of these Greek words. We sing about these all the time, but sometimes we don't tie all these pieces together. These are words about ways that gratitude and joy come together. The Greek word charis means grace. Just invite you to see in that opening word charis, and then you see the Greek. The plural is charisma, gifts of grace. Do you see the root doesn't change? The Greek word chara means joy and gladness. And finally, the Greek word for gratitude is eucharistos. It's from you, good, charis, grace. Grace, gifts of grace, joy. The Eucharist table, an object lesson on inciting joy in everyday life, where the body of Christ gathers and is formed and blessed. This is how Ross Gay writes about gratitude. Given that I've already blathered on enough about gratitude elsewhere, truth be told, in my book, by which I mean in my opinion, there is no blathering on enough about gratitude. The real thing, I mean. There is not enough to gratitude, and it does not in the least seem an ill-conceived exercise, devotion, project, life, to do nothing other than list, or catalog said gratitudes. Perhaps starting with the interior of what before your devotional, your practice, you considered your body, but now, because you are thinking that the trillion or so microbes in your gut and creepy crawling on your skin, slathering lasciviously through your mouth and eyeballs and nostrils, critters, some of whom, if they get ill and die off, you'll be a goner in a heartbeat. Invisible EMTs. You might start there. That's a trillion gratitudes. That ought to keep you busy. Or my God, who shouts out skin anymore? And I don't mean the luster or the hue, all of which are gob-smackingly stunning, and that those hues change most often in relation to the sun. That our skin is one of the many evidences that we are directly related to the sunflower and other heliotropic critters. Gob-smack! I mean the simple fact of our skin, an envelope or a satchel or a sack to hold our guts in, and how it changes and becomes an archive or repository of those changes. Mine variously stretch marked, pocked, dimpled, flappy, hairy, scarred, grooved, smooth, saggy, different and deep hues, and as yet, dear unacknowledged accomplice, holding my guts in. The eyelash, good Lord, high five to that. Saliva, nose hairs, unbecoming though we often say you are, you do your job, whatever it is, thank you. Ear hairs too, more prominent by the day, I notice. And this knee, like a pepper grinder, but still bending, still not chalk. We can carry on with the body like this inside, which even if it's broken beyond repair, probably, though not necessarily, there is a rectum and an anus to let stuff out, which either way constitutes a gratitude. There is tubing in there that we do not know, and maybe we do not want to, but that might like to know that we are grateful.
thank you, stank tubing in there. This is just the body that we're talking about, and we haven't even begun. I mean, mammals have hair, which, though the source of much consternation and prohibition and hand-wringing, especially when you're coming through cancer, it's actually an astonishment. And I have been the lucky recipient, he says, of so much simple, creaturely tending because of it, dozing off in between the legs of some dear braider, tugging the strands tight. And teeth, gums that hold them in your mouth, like, you've got to be kidding me. Fingernails, if you've got a nose, and even if that nose is perpetually stuffed or busted by a rogue elbow, it might one day, who knows, drag you to a lily that smells precisely like your mother who is getting old. And if you got toes, whether crooked or not, we can go out from the body gradually like this to the furthest reaches of our imaginations, gratituding the world, garlanding the world with gratitude. An hour a day a week a year, we could do it always and forever and never arrive at the last gratitude. We can never do it enough. Let's try. Let's start today, shall we? I want to keep this one quick, he closes. Jesus used the coin as an object lesson in his day to remind those with ears to hear and hearts to imagine that the ways of the world may try to inscribe meaning and significance on our lives, on our bodies. But these bodies, the body, is made in the image of God. And together, all these bodies form the body of Christ, marked by the watery cross of God's love. And so may our bodies become an object lesson for us this hour, this day, this week, this year, as we prepare to come to the Eucharist table, a table that incites joy. And may we do so in ways that take us out into the world, inciting that same joy. Amen.
Phrase, garlanding the world with gratitude for all that we have received. It's amazing. When you have cancer, within 10 months, your brain goes, shoo, I'm so grateful to be standing here. Yeah. Whew. Of all the many object lessons, you know, Jesus shared, this table and this feast, though, is just so very central to who we are as God's people. So as we prepare ourselves to, like, behold ourselves, right? Behold the object lessons also that teach us where we fall short to, where we maybe did some harm this last week, and where maybe we could have done a little bit more good. All of that together we bring with us as we pause before this table, like we do every week, to acknowledge the ways that sometimes we miss the gratitude moment and we kind of pass it off. So I invite us to stand as we are willing and able in body and spirit, and to share a prayer out loud together. The church calls it a prayer of confession. Let us pray. Loving God,
you create our bodies in your image, yet we don't see you in the mirror. You look with eyes of love on the bodies of our neighbors, but we see falsely through our own eyes of judgment. You call us to garland the world with gratitude, and we fail to do so. Forgive us, we pray. Amen.
Friends, God sees you, and God knows you, and God loves you. We are all made in God's divine image, like every part of the wild cosmos. Can you hear that baby out there? Right? The newest voice among us, probably. We are all marked by the watery cross of God's love. May our very beings incite joy and delight in God and in one another. Let's say amen.
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 And friends, I invite us to join in the call and response that is the church's practice for recognizing the belovedness of God in each and every neighbor around us. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you. And we invite you to turn just to a person right around you on your left or right or in front and to share the peace of Christ with one another.
Together with the words Jesus shared long ago with his closest companions, the church has taken these words and named them the Lord's Prayer. And this is a version that is a paraphrase from the New Zealand Prayer Book. Let us pray. Eternal Spirit, Earth Maker, Pain Bearer, Life Giver, Source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echoes through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the earth. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustained.
sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Pour your Spirit, God, upon each of us gathered in this moment and over the gifts before us. Make these gifts the body and love of Christ, and make us, through them, Christ's body, alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome to the table of God's love, and when we say all, we mean everyone. We encourage those of us who are gathered online and seeing us or listening to us to bring close to you your bread and your juice, whatever you are using this morning. For those of us here in this room, we will share this meal in two locations, up here at the front and in the back. You are invited to take a piece of bread off the plate and to dip it into the cup. There is always grape juice in that cup, and on the plate, as well as bread, there are crackers that don't have gluten in them. We want everyone to remember that for some of us, this is a brand new, never before tried thing. And for many of us, this is a life practice, and most people are somewhere in between, but always, no matter what, we are kind to one another. We watch over each other in love. You can't make a mistake. Even if you drop the bread, there's plenty more. It's okay. Already been done. There are places to pray around the perimeter of the sanctuary, kneeling or standing or simply staying right where you are in your pew.
Friends, this is the body of Christ and the bread of life broken for you all and the cup of God's forgiveness and healing poured out for the whole world. Thank you. We encourage those praying with candles to stay for as long as you desire. God, we give you our thanks, our gratitude for this holy mystery through which you are revealed to the world, to our bodies, in the act of breaking bread and sharing from a cup. May your peace make us one and call us into deeper patterns of your justice now and always, in the name of Jesus Christ, in whom we place our hope. We offer our lives. Amen. Friends, we hope that you will wonder about the next steps, the ways that God might be calling you to garland the world with gratitude. For many of us, we do this thing that in the church kind of feels just like what you do, but it is such a radical thing, and that is trusting that by sharing of our own resources, God's love will be enlivened and animated in ever deeper ways. And so whether you're a person that makes a gift to support our ministries on a regular basis, or you might be considering it for the first time, we are so grateful for the ways that God's gratitude and love reaches into our hearts and then transforms us so that we can become more generous people. And we invite you into that practice. You can do that by sharing gifts, whether it's a text or you can set up that giving online. We're starting to wonder about and reflect about what we in our community call our deep commitments, about how do we want to share life together over the coming year. And Pastor Linda will say more about that next Sunday as we gather to celebrate baptism. If you are someone who's wondering about baptism for your own self or for a family member, we'd love to talk with you after worship, or you could just send us an email. We will celebrate that here together and then also have stations around the sanctuary next Sunday to commit to renewing our own baptismal covenants, the waters of God's love and cross placed on all of our heads. And we are so thrilled to be together with you all in those ways. Andy and our team are finding their way down at Table Farm, and you can find more about that online and sign up to reach in love in those ways, or perhaps, as Lisa invited, to join us in that next Growing in Faith series that have openings on December 1st and 2nd. That'll be held here at the table. And then finally, we have Rise Up Bread just outside of the sanctuary. If you've ordered that in advance, that's the easiest way to do it. You can order now for next month if you'd like to, and then all you have to do is pick it up. If not, Rise Up Bread is just outside. This next song that we're going to close with is a song that's called Jubilee. And Jubilee, in its biblical practice, was a way that every 7 years and every 50 years, the people of God would come together and literally practice Sabbath. And so this was a time of restoration in which people who had been placed in debtors' prisons were set free, a time in which the land was given space to rest. Jubilee, jubilee, the deepest of gratitudes that God calls us to, a way of letting go of the scarce ways of the world and trusting in the abundance of God's love. I invite you to stand in body or spirit, and our musicians will send us off with the Warren Treaties, Jubilee.
Ooh.
Hear these words from Ruske. We can go out from the body gradually like this to the farthest reaches of our imaginations, gratituding the world, garlanding the world with gratitude, an hour a day a week a year. We could do it always and forever and never arrive at the last gratitude. We can never do it enough. Let's try. Let's start today, shall we? I want to keep this one quick. Amen.
Shine.